The pure have left behind fragrance and color. Each moment they see beauty without hindrance.
...1400 years ago, Islam came to this world with the message of love, peace, and humanity. Links between India and Arabia through trade had already opened floodgates of knowledge, enriching both civilizations. Islam as a concept found a natural home, beginning with the shores of Kerala.
What was the essence of Islam that manifested itself in such visible beauty in my country?
These centuries-old monuments bear testimony to a culture and history which will always remain a part of our lives.
Gone through this experience of a refugee, that we are rehabilitated in this area, which makes it very fortunate and lucky as one who is deprived of everything. But this wonderful space and the monument and the kind of history associated.
From the beauty of Mughal Gardens,
in itself,
the age of Akbar witnessed beauty in all fields of human expression. It was not only confined to music and fine arts, education and refinement and lifestyle, but developed a spirit of understanding and assimilation from the indigenous Indian ethos. Today, Muhammad Shahir is among the few landscape architects who've been inspired by Islamic gardens. These magnificent tombs are designed with the concept of the Garden of Paradise. Persian in style, they're inspired by the geometry of Islamic aesthetics, which integrate the elements of nature in the same beauty and form as expressed in the Quran. Water creates a mystical reflection through sound and image, and at the same time becomes the source of irrigating the gardens and cooling the winds.
Taj Raghurai, I am amazed how this 300-year-old wonder of the world still continues to fascinate the artist in man.
When I reached Agra, and we were still maybe 5-6 kilometers away from Taj, and yet, you know, you could see in the cityscape, you know, the Taj, the dome, the minarets, you know, so overpowering and standing above the city, you know, looking at you. So I said, my God, magnificent, you know. So I started taking pictures from there. So it was such a powerful experience that my first trip to Agra was basically photographing Taj from all around in its environment where it stands today. So I thought, my God, you know, it's an endless affair, you know, I'll have to come back again.
The word of God is expressed in calligraphy in the most exquisite human effort. Having thus acquired a spiritual form, calligraphy enters the decorative field of illustration and manuscripts.
दिखाई देते हैं क्योंकि वो आलम ख्याल और आलम मिसाल में आपको दिए हैं और खत्ताती से भी आप यही चीज़ें पैदा करते हैं हाँ तो मुराद मियां हम इस वक्त पुरानी दिल्ली में बैठे हुए हैं
अमीना अहूजा एन एमिनेंट आर्टिस्ट एंड कैलीग्राफिस्ट रिमिनिसेस ऑफ द दिल्ली गॉन बाय द इंस्पायर्ड आर्किटेक्चर ऑफ द जामा मस्जिद एंड द स्पिरिचुअल ऑरा ऑफ दिल्ली The city of Delhi is known to be the threshold of the Khwajas of the Chishti order and still radiates their presence. حضرت خواجہ قطب الدین بختیار کاکی ان مہرولی، حضرت نظام الدین اولیا ان نظام الدین، اینڈ شیخ نصیر الدین محمد چراغ دہلوی ان چراغ دلی۔
خدا کی نظر میں برابر ہیں۔
صوفیوں کے بہت سے سلسلے ہیں، صوفی آرڈرز ہیں، نقشبندیہ ہے۔
The 786th عرس death anniversary of Hazrat Khwaja Muinuddin Chishti, the founder of the Chishti order, was commemorated in 1998 at his shrine in Ajmer.
Aur unke janishin hue Khwaja Qutbuddin Bakhtiar Kaki, unke janishin hue Baba Farid Ganshakar. Baba Farid Ganshakar wo buzurg hain jinko sabhi ne mana, yahan tak ke guru sahiban jo unke kai sau baras baad tashreef laaye, انہوں نے بھی بابا فرید کی تعلیمات اور بانیوں کو گرو گرنتھ صاحب میں جگہ دی۔ اس کے ساتھ ساتھ جو پیغمبر اسلام کا جو اصلی پیغام
تھا، دی صوفیز امپارٹڈ ٹو دیئر ڈسائپلز ٹینڈرنس آف دی ہارٹ اینڈ اینڈ لیس ویلز آف ٹیئرز رینیوڈ تھرو دیئر ہیومن کمپیشن،
تو ان کو جو دعائیں دی تھیں وہ سننے کے قابل ہیں۔ ایک دعا تو انہوں نے یہ دی کہ اللہ تجھے وقت خوش، راحت دل اور آب دیدہ عطا فرمائے، یعنی اس کا مطلب یہ ہے کہ اللہ تعالیٰ تجھے دل کی خوشی عطا فرمائے، راحت عطا فرمائے اور آنکھ کے آنسو عطا فرمائے۔ اب بھلے بتائیے، عام طور پہ یہ دعا نہیں جاتی، لیکن آنکھ کا آنسو جو ہے وہ دراصل درد بندی انسان کی جو دوسرے انسانوں کے تئیں ایک ہمدردی اور درد بندی ہوتی ہے اس کو ظاہر کرتا ہے۔
The central source of this inspiration was the unparalleled human sacrifice of Imam Hussein, the grandson of the Prophet of Islam and son of Hazrat Ali, in the name of God, in the battlefield of Karbala. Hazrat Khwaja Muinuddin Chishti's love for music found spiritual expression in his Mehfil-e-Sama. Indian classical music blended with Persian thought and became a medium of his love for God, thus enriching the deprived souls of the downtrodden. The advent of the Chishtis in the realm of music created new landmarks. The heights reached by Amir Khusro continued to explore new horizons. The poetry of Amir Khusro became the soul of Kashmiri Sufiana singing. Through time, Kashmir became the meeting point of several civilizations. Shah Ali Hamdani introduced Central Asian and Persian crafts, which became the identity of the valley. In philosophy and poetic expression, it also achieved an evolved form of synthesis. The Sufi and Bhakti movement inspired each other and gave birth to the patron saint of the valley, Sheikhul Alam Nuruddin Wali, also known as Nund Rishi. Such inspirations opened floodgates of enlightenment.
Well, it goes back even before the birth of Guru Nanak, because the midwife, her name was Dolta, who brought him into the world, was Muslim. So you can see how long the relationship is from the time of the birth of the founder of the faith. And then again, interestingly, his lifelong companion for 47 years, his childhood companion, who stayed with him 47 years until his death, was Mardana. And after Mardana died, his son Shehzad then took over, and he stayed with Guru Nanak until Guru Nanak died. You see, then again, to get to know more about Islam from Islamic scholars and savants, he traveled with Mardana to Kabul and then to Mecca and then to Baghdad. Now, in those days, travel was not easy. But he went there and came back more enriched, more sort of fulfilled, and with a greater insight of this faith that he admired. And you know, so it's a very, very long relationship which has been sustained by successive gurus after that. The fifth guru, Arjan Dev, invited his friend, the Sufi mystic, to lay the foundation stone of the Golden Temple, which he did, again unheard of.
When there was such philosophical integration, why was this great nation divided? Intrigued by the title Price of Partition, I met Dr. Rafiq Zakaria, a renowned Islamic scholar and political analyst, for greater insight.
Do you know that 1 million of them died in the most horrible conditions? That children became orphans? That women were raped? That old and aged had to perish on the way, trying to cross from one border to the other? And that in the process, no less than 15 million people were uprooted? That is the price of partition that both Hindus and Muslims. In the wake of the Khilafat movement, such forces of unity between Hindus and Muslims were forged by Mahatma Gandhi and the Ali brothers, Maulana Muhammad Ali and Maulana Shaukat Ali, that the governor of Bombay, Lord Lyte, wrote to the Secretary of State that it is just a question of days when we will have to pack up and leave India. But unfortunately, subsequent events gave such a setback that it almost broke Gandhiji's heart. That is how every time Gandhiji tried to bring Hindus and Muslims together, the British saw to it that either by propping the feudal Muslim leadership, the communal Hindu leadership, or by sort of instigating either communities on some religious issue or the other, that such kind of unity is never brought about and it could never come. And therefore you had this conflict between the Congress and the Muslim League, which ultimately resulted in the partition of the subcontinent.
But now an age has gone by. Those who chose, out of their own free will, to stay back are serving society in the light of their conviction. They continue to be deeply rooted to the soil.
The Prophet of Islam's prophetic saying, that from the direction of him that I get the fragrance of love, begins to seem larger than life. I see friends everywhere serving with a smile. This unending journey from home for years on end. Taxi drivers like Ghulam Hassan of Gaman have served the basic human need of transport. Dedication to human service is another form of divinity and comes from prayer. As I enter this serene space, I am reminded of the hadith of Prophet of Islam. A person of faith in a mosque is like a sun reflecting in water.
This 200-year-old Konkani mosque is built over a tank, located in the heart of Mumbai in Dongri Fort. One is amazed to witness an awe-inspiring beauty of tranquility in the structure of a mosque, in sharp contrast to the cacophony and harshness of the outside world. The aesthetics of Islam evolved through such inspirations from architecture to musical azans to calligraphy.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Ek hi saf mein khade ho gaye Mahmood o Ayaz. In a line stood the king and his slave, equal in his presence.
Making something out of scrap is no ordinary way of serving society. Bombay corrodes and brings materialism down to bare matter. The ocean lashes against the metal. The forces of nature beat upon the human psyche to reinforce the end, the faith in the divine power. The world gripped in a commercial trap. What sells, who buys? In this never-ending game, fortunes change. The river of time changes its course. Objects of desire from stately homes and palaces reach a small and humble shop, waiting for the discerning eye to pick it up again. To re-enter the ups and downs of life, the believer waits, for he knows that what goes up must come down.
Their love and compassion for humanity and rejection of social differences made Sufis deeply acceptable. In Mumbai, the presence of Haji Ali radiates an aura of love which continues to become stronger with time. On the coast of Mahim, the dargah of Makhdoom Shah Baba continues to draw devotees of all faiths. Various societies in Islam have evolved with changing times.
See that Muslims of North had entirely different perceptions from Muslims living, for example, say in Western India. Now, let us take the movement for education among Muslims after British rule was established. Now, the perception of Northern Muslims was very different. They thought that Britishers have ruined them. So they should not adopt British culture and British system of education. But Sir Sayyid had realized that Muslims cannot survive without modern education. So he started the movement for modern education. He started working for starting a college. And there was a lot of resistance to it. I mean, he was even declared as kafir by some ulama. He was declared as Christian, as a Jew. All sorts of labels were used against him. But there was no such problem at all when Muslims in Bombay started educational institution known as Anjuman-e-Islam. It was founded by Badruddin Tayyabji, who was retired Chief Justice of Bombay High Court. Not only that, he did not meet with any resistance, but Muslims readily cooperated with him and gave generous donations to start educational institution.
Established in 1874, Anjuman-e-Islam teaches young children to be relevant to the country in the light of Islam. It imparts meaningful modern education through hundreds of schools, colleges, and various other technical training institutions under the visionary direction of its president, Dr. Isaac Jamkhanawala. M.H. Sabu Siddiq Polytechnics is amongst its well-known institutions.
सितारों से आगे जहां और भी हैं अभी इश्क के इम्तिहान और भी हैं तू शाही है परवाज़ है तेरा काम तेरे सामने आसमां और भी है, वह दिन के तन्हा था मैं अंजुमन में, यहाँ अब मेरे रास्ता और भी है।
टेक वेस्टर्न इंडिया फॉर एग्जाम्पल, दिस थ्री मर्केंटाइल कम्युनिटीज बोराज, खोजाज एंड मेमन्स हैव मेड लॉट ऑफ कॉन्ट्रीब्यूशन टू एक्सपांशन ऑफ ट्रेड, so much so that even in banking they have made lot of contribution. Some of the reformist Boras established a Bombay Mercantile Cooperative Bank in 1948, which has become one of the largest cooperative sector bank in India.
Wherever the bank has opened its branches, it has very successfully, they have broken this net of the middleman and they have made them to stand on their foot, and they have changed the economy of that class of section of society which was being exploited by the middleman.
Several hundred thousand weavers of Bhiwandi, with the dexterity of their nimble hands and the light of their eyes, clothe the Indian populace. In Bhiwandi, the Konkan Muslim Society is actively involved in the field of education. A full-fledged medical college is in the offing now.
Absorbed in the silence of their soul, drowned in the sound of mechanical rhythm, the craftsman is a tree who bears fruit for society.
In every part of India, the Muslim artisan and weaver serves his brethren through his craft. Meerut is one such example. The Indian marriage is inconceivable without a brass band. The first brass band in India was introduced by Nadir Ali, and his people continue this tradition till today. They began with no blueprint and out of sheer inventiveness designed ways of structuring the instruments.
तो उन्होंने हिंदुस्तान का पहला बैंड रेस किया और रेस करके उन्होंने लोगों के अंदर एक नई चीज इंट्रोड्यूस की कि क्यों ना इस बाजे को हिंदुस्तानियों की लाइफ में इंट्रोड्यूस किया जाए। और हिंदुस्तानियों की लाइफ में मैरिज सबसे इंपॉर्टेंट चीज थी, तो मैरिज में पहला बैंड रेस किया जो बहुत एक्सेप्ट हुआ।
टुडे दे हैव रीच्ड इंटरनेशनल स्टैंडर्ड्स ऑफ एक्सीलेंस। Among the scientists who made an outstanding contribution in the field of science in post-independence India, the name of Dr. A. Rahman is significant.
Indian Muslims had a major impact on the field of development of science and technology in India. Particularly in technology, where a large number of artisans and craftsmen became Islam, because Islam gave them social status and equality, and they were highly prized. And this led to the major development. So if we look at the development of India over the period, Islamic contribution or the contribution of Muslims was in fact creating a base for a new civilizational development. And today again, after the trauma, they have recovered at making major contribution in almost every field.
Without profound understanding of science and technology, such magnificent monuments that have withstood the test of time could not have been created.
Two dimensions which went on together. The exoteric, that is the rationalism and all that, and the esoteric, which was the internal one, which was mystical. One of the greatest scholar and one of the most remarkable person was Al-Biruni, who came to India, he stayed here for 13 years, wrote on every aspect of Indian science.
Professor Sayyed Zahoor Qasim is not only a famous scientist, but also an educationist.
He was the Prime Minister of India, and I was asked to take the first expedition to Antarctica. That was in the year 1981. I have devoted a major part of my life in the study of the oceans.
Driven by a sense of adventure, he researched on those aspects of science and technology that were yet unknown.
When we started this science in the country, there was hardly any infrastructure available. So my immediate aim was to develop infrastructure facilities in the form of ships, shore-based institutions, manpower, and that's how it started. And over a period of 40 years or so, we have now a full-fledged infrastructure, and the country has done extremely well.
हम industrial toxicology research center 1970 से काम कर रहे हैं. ये institute Dr. Sipte Hasan Zaidi ने कायम किया था. दरअसल अगर हम ये कहें कि इंडिया में इंडस्ट्रियल टॉक्सिकोलॉजी रिसर्च का कॉन्सेप्ट डॉक्टर जैदी लाए थे
हम लाइक हिम डॉक्टर कमर रहमान आल्सो वर्क्स विद एन एटीट्यूड ऑफ कंसर्न एंड सर्विंग ह्यूमैनिटी एट लार्ज इन द सेक्युलर लाइट ऑफ इस्लाम हर मिशन इज टू प्रोटेक्ट द हेल्थ ऑफ द नेशंस वर्किंग क्लास
तो हम उसके ऊपर काम कर रहे हैं ये काम वर्कर्स की बेहतरी के लिए है हम चाहते हैं कि कुछ इस तरह के हम टेस्ट निकालें कि ये पता लग जाए कि उनको कब डिजीज डेवलप होती है व्हाट आर द डायग्नोस्टिक टेस्ट एंड हाउ कैन वी प्रिवेंट वर्कर्स फ्रॉम दीज डिजीजेस सो इफ वी से स्मॉल स्मॉल थिंग्स ऑफ इस्लाम देन वी विल रियलाइज दैट साइंस गेट्स आइडियाज फ्रॉम इस्लाम
Bara Imambara has the largest vault roof in Asia without the reinforcement of steel. The Nawabs of Awadh created a refined synthesis of Indo-Persian architecture, poetry, and music.
The psyche of the Indian Muslim had begun to emerge. I met Dr. Kalbi Sadiq to understand the causes of backwardness of the Muslims in the north.
Tariq ke lamhon ne ye jabr bhi dekha hai. Lamhon ne khata ki hai, sadiyon ne saza paayi. Jis waqt ke European Christians se aur Muslimanon se salibi jange ho rahi thi, to Christians Muslimanon ki jaan ke dushman the. लेकिन उन्होंने होशियारी की बात यह की कि मुसलमानों से दुश्मनी को बरकरार रखा लेकिन मुसलमानों के पास जो साइंसेस थे जो उलूम थे उनको सीने से लगाया और उनको परवान चढ़ाया हमारे यहाँ सूरत हाल ये हो गई कि जब हिंदुस्तान पर ईस्ट इंडिया कंपनी ने हमला किया तो यहाँ पर उस वक्त मुसलमानों की हुकूमत थी लेकिन मुसलमानों ने एक भयानक गलती ये की कि अगर वो सिर्फ अंग्रेजों से दुश्मनी रखते तो वो बात सही थी लेकिन
इन रिएक्शन टू द ब्रिटिश ऑपरेशन द मुस्लिम्स अबैंडन्ड द स्टडी ऑफ इंग्लिश लैंग्वेज व्हिच हैड बाय देन बिकम द मीडियम फॉर साइंटिफिक नॉलेज एंड डेवलपमेंट ही फील्स दैट व्हाइल वन शुड अपोज द ऑपरेसर वन शुड एक्वायर देयर पॉजिटिव एट्रीब्यूट्स एज पर द हदीस ऑफ द प्रॉफिट ऑफ इस्लाम In 1912, Maulvi Sayyid Karamat Hussain started a school for the education of Muslim girls, which has now become a degree college. This college makes available modern educational systems to girls of all castes and creeds. She expresses the need for holistic development of a girl to be relevant to the nation. Today in Lucknow, Nadwatul Uloom is an institution that imparts education based on the principles of Islam. Students from all over the world come here to learn. Besides many rare manuscripts, the libraries here have over 1,300 dictionaries in various languages. Its founder, Maulana Sayyid Abdul Hassan Ali Nadwi, popularly known as Maulana Alimia, is a world-renowned scholar in Islamic theology. Deoband is another such institution. The culture of Awadh, of always put the other first, became renowned for its hospitality. This culture of integration, which reached its pinnacle of refinement in the court of Wajid Ali Shah, was given a new complexion by the Talukedars of Awadh. They built the Lucknow University, Colvin Talukedar College, Medical College, and many other institutions. The old and the new continues to blend. Besides Awadh and Delhi, the royal families of Rampur encouraged the traditions of integration. Lieutenant General Sami Khan belongs to one such family of Rampur.
Muslim, large number of Muslims have all gone to Pakistan.
The new generation too is equally charged with the human concern and works for the welfare of the poor.
Well, microfinance is a concept pioneered by the Grameen Bank in Bangladesh. It's very essential, I feel, in developing third world countries because it enables very small micro enterprises to gain finances for themselves.
After the collapse of Delhi, the Ganga Jamni culture of Awadh gained strength and became refined. The refinement entered every facet of social life, even cuisine, with an exquisite blend of finely ground and sieved condiments.
Delhi ke khatam hone ke baad, jab Lucknow ke Ganga Jamni tehzeeb ka aagaaz hua, to dastarkhan par bhi kafi sajawat aa gayi, ke har cheez ko koot ke chhan ke jisse ke khane mein lazzat kafi aa jati thi.
And I found, to my great joy, the bazaar food of Awadh was equally sumptuous.
I think the strongest links is Islam's great belief and actual name Islam, which means peace. Peace is a thing that I think has been the greatest link between Islam and India. India of the days of Buddha, India of the days of Ashoka, India about which Iqbal had written and said.
In the words of poet Iqbal, India is the land of saints like Hazrat Khwaja Moinuddin Chishti and Nanak, who reinforced the unity of God and the equality of man. This is the garden of Krishna, Chishti, Nanak, and Varis, and their grace continues to bless the country.
Crowds of Hindus and Muslims, the very, very clear picture of national integration. And that shows that India has imbibed the spirit of love and kindness.
It is a tradition to have a mela or a fair at the Dargah at the time of the Urs of the saint. The melas are a shining example of successful efforts of the Sufis to integrate spiritualism with humanism.
My husband, General Habibullah, was given charge of the Army, Navy and Air Force to build the whole three forces together and make the complete infrastructure for the entire future of the India's one of the most sensitive areas, the defense.
The culture that emanated from Lucknow did not remain restricted to Lucknow, but spread to many other kasbas, satellite towns around it. Khairabad, Malihabad, Kakuri, Mohan were some such districts where a cultural awareness took root and left its mark even on the rural life. In these districts, an amazing tradition of music and literature evolved, which produced poets of such great eminence as Josh Malihabadi, Hasrat Mohani, and many others who played a laudable role in the national movement.
God, in his infinite wisdom, has pointed out again and again to man, look, how can you deny the graciousness, the bounties that I have bestowed upon you. Look at these beautiful mountains, these beautiful streams, the wind and the rain and the flowers, the chirping of the birds, the moving of ships in the bosom of the ocean. Look, how can you deny the existence of God and love of God? I mean, when you hear this, almost like a beautiful, I wouldn't say a poem, it's an inspired word, but the rhythm and the beauty of this surat, I think anybody would be inspired.
Calcutta, the destination of Sher Shah Suri's Grand Trunk Road, joining the two ends of the country. Calcutta, where Wajid Ali Shah was recreated in Satyajit Ray's Shatranj Ke Khiladi. Calcutta, where Raja Ram Mohan Roy epitomized the culture of Indian-Persian integration. Calcutta, where Nazrul Islam's revolutionary Bengali songs still move the hearts of millions.
The Imam Bada of Haji Mohsin, built on the banks of the Hooghly, is a fine example of Indo-Dutch architecture.
You see, Calcutta, unlike any other city in India, was based on the collapse of national power. Most of them were controlled by Muslims. For example, when Bahadur Shah Zafar collapsed in 1857, he came to Calcutta. On February 6, 1856, Awadh was annexed. So Wajid Ali Shah came to Calcutta, 40,000 people, and settled at Mathiya Bharuch. So a new Lucknow was almost transplanted in Calcutta. In fact, one thing very interesting is that Sharar, who wrote his Guzishta Lucknow, he was just 12 years old when he came to Mathiya Bharuch. And the entire vivid account of Lucknow is considered a textbook. It was written what he saw of Lakshmi intact. Similarly, when Tipu handed over his children to Cornwallis in 1798, then a new colony came up in Calcutta, the Jolly Bench now, and the Jolly Club, the RCGC Club, and the entire Jolly Bench belonged to Tipu Sultan family. And as many as 13 mosques in Calcutta have been built by Tipu Sultan. Another factor which is very important, that Calcutta was emerging as the biggest Cornwallian city in India and the most urban place, and also perhaps at that time, Calcutta emerged as the most cosmopolitan city in the world.
I saw Ayan Rashid's film, The Seventh Man, on the Muslims of Calcutta. Every seventh man in the city was a Muslim and vital to the functioning of Calcutta.
So the urban requirements brought in urban technology, which only the Muslims were familiar with. For example, you've seen the, say, you've just seen the film, that there's not a single brick-built house in Calcutta which has not been built by the Muslim Rajmistris or architects. Similarly, in other areas, like supply of milk, supply of flesh, supply of various other things, which are, in fact, the supply of all urban requirements were conducted by the Muslims. And in fact, the transport system of Calcutta was also organized by these people, early settlers of Muslims in Calcutta. So the Muslims were involved from the very genesis of the city of Calcutta. When Ghalib came to Calcutta from Delhi, he found the difference so striking that he wrote that famous poem, Kalkatte ka jo zikr kiya tune ham nashi, ek teer mere seene pe mara ke haaya hai. And in one of his letters, he writes that if I had two lives, one I'll definitely spend in Calcutta, and the other one where? I don't know.
Urdu mohabbat ki zuban kehlati hai. Do tehzeebein thi.
Qurratul Ain Haider's very first novel, Aag Ka Darya, or The River of Fire, placed her in the forefront of Indian writers. Her works interpret sensitive human relations and rare emotions. Urdu is a language of synthesis, a language of love and understanding. Therefore, it becomes beautiful and endearing. It was not born out of anger and conflict. It is one of the few languages which has a distinct expression of the feminine world.
Group ki har firqe ki yahan tak ke Urdu mere khayal mein wahid zuban hai jisme ke begmati zuban alag thi auraton ki zuban alag thi
hamari ghazal jo is waqt sabse maqbool sinf hai sirf Urdu mein nahi balki Hindustan ki tamam zubanon mein light music mein ghazal se behtar sinf is waqt koi nahi hai.
Ali Sardar Jafri is the standard bearer of revolutionary poetry among the progressive poets of India. He mirrored the emotions of the socially downtrodden. Winner of the prestigious Gyanpeeth Award, Sardar Jafri stands as a symbol of the progressive movement.
Mir Taqi Mir ka sher hai ke kaha maine kitna hai gul ka sabat. Kali ne ye sunkar tabassum kiya. Nargis Dutt ne Pandit Nehru se pucha, bimar the, ke Pandit ji kaisa mizaj hai? Kehne lage unko dekhe se jo aa jati hai muh par rona, wo samajhte hai ke bimar ka haal acha hai.
The beauty and quotability of Urdu is unmatchable. There was a time when to enter the film industry, Dilip Kumar had to change his name, Yusuf Khan. But times are different now. Apart from Shah Rukh Khan, Salman Khan, Aamir Khan, there are many other Khans who did not once contemplate taking on a screen name to become acceptable.
How do you see the Indian Muslim?
Indian Muslim is a category totally different from Muslims anywhere else in the world. He is completely different from, he's different from Muslims in Arabia, from Iran, from the Maghreb, Morocco, Algeria. He is, because he has grown up in an ethos where there are other communities, where there is a majority community, and with whom he has lived in perfect harmony. Nowhere in the world has he been able to create the Taj Mahal. Nowhere was he able to create a Lal Qila, Jama Masjid, Ghalib, Josh Malyabadi, Iqbal. This makes the Indian Muslim a category completely different from Muslims anywhere else in the world.
What is the spirit of Jamia, and how would you say HAKMCRC has been able to imbibe that spirit?
Well, Jamia was established in 1920 during the Freedom Movement. In fact, as
the director of Jamia Millia Islamia A.J. Qidwai Mass Communication and Research Center, Professor Habib Qidwai, is a specialist in mass communication.
Had this concept of Nayi Talim, which is a unique concept in the sense that their idea was to impart education by enabling students to learn by doing things with their own hands throughout the course. This thing is inculcated into them that they are going to be very crucial element in the transformation that is taking place in the society around us. As media persons, they should be sensitive to what is happening by way of social change, right? And they should be able to communicate it to others.
It's very true. There is a dividing line, that's the Narmada River. South of Narmada, they are educationally very aware, and it's an educational resurgence that has taken place in the south. North of Narmada, in the so-called Hindi belt, unfortunately, Muslims have not progressed educationally. Hamdard has chosen very wisely the two major planks on which human resource development is based: health and education. The organization was set up in 1906 as Hamdard Dawakhana. Gradually it progressed.
Jamia Hamdard University is a unique institute that is not only known for its scientific teaching of the Unani School of Medicine, but also for other professional careers. Sayyid Hamid has made important contributions towards the integrating of madrasas with the curriculum of modern schools and colleges all over India.
The result has been a university known as Hamdard University, which was established in 1989. Hamdard Education Society is an umbrella organization for doing a lot of things. It's running three schools in Delhi. One is the Hamdard Public School, which you had the occasion to visit this morning. Another is the Rabia Girls Public School, which is in the walled city of Delhi. Yet another is Hamdard Primary School, which is located on the campus of the Hamdard University. Apart from running these schools, there is a talent search and a scholarship scheme which Hamdard Education Society is conducting. But before we conclude, I would like to mention the work being done by the Hamdard Study Circle.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, the representation of Muslims in the services has not been very impressive, not very adequate either. So far, we have been able to place more than 80 candidates in the highest civil services of the country, IAS and the allied services, and that has generally been recognized.
Karnataka mein alamin wale.
In Bangalore, the contrast in education of the South and North is most pronounced. Alameen has done remarkable work in this field. The Ministry of Waqf in Karnataka manages several educational institutions and orphanages. On this world and hereafter, and they ask you concerning the orphans, say, to set right for them their affairs is good. And if you become co-partners with them, they are your brethren.
The purpose of starting computer education centers in mosques is that we can provide in the at least introduction to computers and higher level education in that field to underprivileged people in the Muslim community.
Alhamdulillah, we have three centers in Bangalore, and inshallah the fourth one is coming up at the largest mosque in Bangalore, Jamia Masjid, and that will be entirely for women.
Agar aapne ek bacche ko taleem di to wo sirf aage chalke ek fard.
Educating a girl means educating a family. As women are carriers of culture and knowledge which they impart to their children.
Uske bachchon ki tarbiyat bahut zyada behtar hoti hai us maa ke bachchon ki tarbiyat se jo jahil hai aur jo padhi likhi nahi.
The unique feature of Hasnat Society is to take students weak in studies and develop in them a spirit of competitiveness. Among the kings of India, the name of Tipu Sultan has a special significance. While keeping an eye on his country and its problems, he kept a close watch on world developments. This blood-stained saddle cover of Tipu's horse is a graphic reminder of his last fight for freedom. The aura of the shrine of Tipu Sultan moved Allama Iqbal to tears.
Love and freedom are the spring of life. Love is my soul, freedom my faith. I can sacrifice my life for love, but for freedom, I could sacrifice my love.
A quatrain which Akhtar Shirani wrote for the nation's great martyr, Tipu Sultan.
Piya baj pyala, piya jaye na, piya baj ek dil, jiya jaye na.
In 16th century, Quli Qutub Shah, the founder of the city of Hyderabad, was one of the first Urdu poets to give expression to the tender emotions of a woman. The Mukhaffam Jah Engineering Institute imparts education in all fields and facets of engineering. Hyderabad, like Lucknow, Bhopal, and Srinagar, has a distinct culture of its own.
During Ramzan, as the evening draws, the atmosphere around Charminar rejoices with festivities.
One cannot talk about Hyderabad without mentioning the Nizam, whose contribution in both education and culture is evident through the Usmania University. It is among the biggest universities of India. The Usmania Medical College was also built by Usman Ali Khan. Malik bin Dinar, a disciple of the Prophet of Islam, along with his 12 followers, came to Kerala with the message of friendship and love. This mosque is the symbol of this message, whose fragrance continues to spread all around. The Muslim Educational Society, MES, was established in 1964. At that time, there were only 30% literate Muslims. Today, with their efforts, the percentage has crossed 55%. Dr. M.A. Abdullah is the founder and chairman of this society, which runs around 150 institutions in Kerala with the help of all faiths.
This is the very house where Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan had once lived.
Sir Sayyid understood the root cause of the backwardness of the North Indian Muslim, abhorrence of the English language. A visionary as he was, he created a college integrating Western education with Oriental lifestyle. Today, this idea has flourished into an international university, and its education encompasses every conceivable discipline of knowledge. Its alumni have made a mark in their respective fields: poetry, literature, history, cinema, sports, politics, science, and technology. An endless list of names that have brought glory to the nation. Even presidents, not only of India, but Pakistan as well.
I am amazed at the visionary personality of Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan. Indeed, he gave the most invaluable gift to the nation, education.
From all forms of imaginable craft to every form of art, Muslims in India have found a place in the heart of every Indian. Be it fireworks at Diwali, or a trousseau of a wedding, or a performance in a film, the dedication is from the soul.
To create beauty comes from the urge within to relate. To break boundaries that divide man, the spirit soars with a vision that makes institution of men, where the scientific temperament of Islam is balanced with his mystical quest, where humility is the most attractive feature of human behavior, where service to fellow men is the source of fragrance.